I'm Laura, I'm an addict.
Hi Laura.
That sounds horrible. I was just thinking about how I got here. I've got acid indigestion, so if you hear any gurgles over the microphone, it's my stomach. I drank too much coffee today and it doesn't agree with me. So get that out of the way. I don't really know. I don't want to kind of talk about using too much. I get a bit bored with it, to be honest. But basically, I started using when I was about 11 or 12. I left home at nearly 14, so I was kind of 13. I hadn't got on with my parents. I'd been in a foster family that was not healthy. Got sent to a horrible convent school and decided to run away. I did one of those sort of teenage runaway things. I'm not from London, but I came here and came to seek my drug fortune sort of thing. Heard it was all going on, saw a few films when I was younger, and thought, that's what I want to be. And I kind of did quite well at it for a while. I moved in with some people in squats, got myself into a lot of drugs, a lot of trouble. And ended up really in a series of institutions. If I wasn't on the streets, I was in hospitals. If I wasn't in hospital, I had a few times in prison. I had health problems where I was in general hospitals. If I wasn't in an institution, I was in a squat or in a sleeping bag, basically, and that was kind of my life. You know, almost overnight, I'd gone from being this sort of convent girl into this sort of street urchin punk, and I just copied the people in the squat. And I remember thinking when I first picked up Class A drugs that that's, you know, this is the life for me and this is the way I'm going to live and die, and it was all very sort of dramatic. And I thought I had a path, basically. I'd found an identity, that sort of punk thing. Although it was a bit post-punk, I was a bit younger. It was kind of something that that anger sort of fueled how I felt inside, and I acted it out and sort of wore it externally with great pride and got myself into a lot of problems. I lost touch with my family. I didn't really want contact with my family. And I just ran around and caused chaos. Got into prostitution, into sort of petty crime. Found people who had done what I was doing for a lot of years and sort of copied them, basically. I didn't really know my arse from my elbow, but I just did what they did and got on with it. I went into my first institution when I was 15. And, you know, I was doing a lot of self-harming as well. It's something that I'd done since I was about 11. And I didn't actually realise I was on a destructive path at the time. I thought that I was just doing what I wanted to do. I was quite sort of blind to what I was doing to myself. After a few sort of teenage detoxes and sort of being pushed around a bit, I had quite a serious physical hospital admission. I got diagnosed with HIV when I was 18 and ended up on a general ward, then kind of went a bit crazy from all the situation, went on to psychiatric ward. The psychiatric ward sort of cleared me to go into treatment centre, and I didn't want to be there. I was 18 and a half. That half was important when you're that young. And I just didn't want to be there. I got introduced to NA, didn't know what was going on, found a nice older woman in the corner of the room, thought she looked like someone who could mother me, asked her to sponsor me. She said no. She lived in Scotland. She said it was too far, and I thought she was just being nasty. So I basically told her to fuck off because I was angry. I was sick of, you know, that rejection thing, and I was a real victim. And anybody who said no to me for any reason whatsoever, I would punish them in some way or another. I came out of this treatment facility and got sent to a second stage place. So again, you know, I'm in institutions and I can kind of function them in them to some extent, but it wasn't real life. And I came out of there and basically just used and set myself up to go back into secure units, prison, blah, 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 blah. It just went on and on. And that just continued till my sort of early 30s. I'm just over 3 years clean now. And, you know, I'd been trying to get clean since 1989, and I haven't. I really tried, I really surrendered. I had that sort of thing where I was in this mental hospital, I was coming off a section, excuse me, I'd got into a lot of trouble, and I just had enough, and I'd been sitting in this institution going, I can't do this anymore. I can't go out and get these drugs, I can't do this script thing, I'm sick of this psychiatric, you know, using my behaviours to get psychiatric medication, believing the schizophrenic labels they were telling me I had, and just feeding off a really toxic system. And one day I cried, and that continued for about 2 days and a night non-stop. And I said to the doctor, I want help. And there happened to be a meeting in the day hospital of this hospital I was in. And they let me go to it. And that was the start of my recovery just over 4 years ago. I have used since. After 9 months, I've not been someone who's had a problem with seeing I've got a problem, to be honest. It's not really been about denial for me, because it was really quite obvious that things were very messy for a very long time. And the drugs stopped working really a long time before I stopped using them. It was more the fact that I couldn't let go of the self-hatred that I felt for myself. I didn't want to let go of it. I didn't want to let go of the victim role. And I couldn't really see what part I had to play in anything either. That was the part of the denial. And, you know, I came into the rooms, I was very hostile, very frightened. Some people wouldn't talk to me because of my attitude. And some people I could communicate with on a very basic level. I was a bit animalistic, I was a bit sort of grunty and sweary, and just not very pleasant to be around. But the one thing I really wanted was, like it says in the readings, I wanted what other people had. And I had quite a lot of willingness, I just didn't know how to get it. And I didn't know how people were laughing, how people were getting on with their lives. I didn't really know. I didn't have that much faith in, if I did what you guys were doing, that I would move on. And after 9 months, I still wasn't taking care of myself at all, really, and I used. And it was a 24-hour binge. It was, I kind of ended up doing some post office books with a guy that I bumped into in the area, going back with the guy in my flat, you know, sort of servicing him in a few different fashions for Class A drugs. And when that had all worn out, it was like, I can't do it, I don't want this, I really don't want this, and why am I doing it? And after I'd sort of come down off this sort of mini psychosis thing, I'd said to, you know, I rang my sponsor and I said to her, you know, I've relapsed, and we talked, and I'd done one step one, and you know, I did know I had a problem. I knew that, you know, I could kind of probably get better if I did things differently. And the thing around step two for me, I really liked step two. I felt very insane for a very long time, and didn't think that I could get any balance or any perspective or any kind of, I didn't think I'd get the madness out of my head or my life. I didn't think that would ever settle down. And we had a long chat, and, you know, over time I saw it was possible. I did my step two. You know, there is hope for me to recover, really. And that was quite an emotional sort of time for me. You know, and I did the step three. You know, I don't have a very strong concept of a higher power. You guys are my higher power, the steps of my higher power. Going to meetings and staying connected and doing service, those are all forms of my higher power. I don't have anything aside from that yet. That may change, I don't know. And I did a life story for my step four. And all of a sudden, I saw my part in things. I could see, you know, where I was going wrong, really. The self-pity and the I'm a victim, I've been hard done by. You know, all this stuff that I'd come into recovery with, I didn't think there was any healing from. I was probably worse than most people in the rooms. Yeah, and by the way, I've been diagnosed as a nutter since I was 15 years old, so there you go. you know, it was all sort of laid out. I had all laid out about why I couldn't get well. And, you know, my health stuff, that caused me a lot of anger and resentment and self-pity. After I did my step five, I didn't have a great revelation. I found it tricky. I actually had a little bit of a breakdown. But it actually allowed me to pick myself back up again and, you know, move on. And after a couple of months, I wasn't reacting to things in the same way. My emotional unmanageability was actually starting to heal. I didn't speak so aggressively to people. I didn't resent everything so much. I had more contact with my parents and didn't feel like I had to punish them every time I was with them. I was just less abusive to other people and, more importantly, to myself. I got housed just over a year ago. I've been 20 years homeless, and in the same week that I ran away from home, I got a flat. Yes, it's an external thing, but for me, it was the first time I had a base and had somewhere to put some possessions. You know, I didn't ever have anything, and I was accumulating this stuff, and I could put it away in, you know, wardrobes and bookshelves, and it was just amazing. It's a beautiful flat. It's in a lovely area. I mean, when I went there, I was convinced that they got the wrong address, you know, or they got it, given it to the wrong person, me. And since I've got that flat, things have settled down for me, because I've had somewhere that I can call home. You know, I've got amazing friends. I try not to do drama. I'm very involved in the fellowship. I love doing service. It's not something that I think, oh, I better do it because other people are doing it. I just love doing it because it makes me feel good, selfishly or not. And it's one way of me sort of just gaining some skills. I didn't have any when I came here, and through doing some service, actually I've been able to go on a part-time university course. I'm doing voluntary work in a sort of really frontline men's hostel in Soho, which I'm loving. And all this stuff is really through NA and more importantly service, learning skills to communicate with people. I don't wake up every morning hating myself. I do things sometimes I don't feel good about myself doing. But in step seven, you know, I'm learning to accept that I'm not perfect. I am human, and there's always another day to try again. When I got clean, I wanted two things. I wanted to get clean and stay clean, and I wanted to feel better about myself. And those were two things that I knew that I wanted, and I've got both of them a day at a time. It's got goosebumps. It's amazing. As I said, I was someone who was convinced I couldn't get well. This program wouldn't work for me. I wouldn't be sitting here, you know, talking like this, like I've heard other people do. And I always thought that my health situation was going to catch up with me as well. And it's fine. A day at a time, it's fine. I try and look after myself. I do the best I can. I take my medication and just try and take responsibility for myself, which was something I didn't ever been seeing myself doing. You know, I've got a bank account with direct debits going out and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not saying that because it's, you know, I'm from West London and it's all material stuff, by the way. It's just that when I'm doing the right thing and I'm fitting in with, you know, that bridge to normal living, and I'm doing what other people are doing without a problem, without a second thought, it feels good. I don't want to feel like an alien and a freak and a misplaced, misunderstood person on this planet. I want to join in with life. Sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes it's a bit miserable, but most of the time I wake up feeling like it's good to be alive, and I didn't used to have that. And I'm very, very grateful, and I'm not just saying that. I hear it a lot and I think, are you really? Yeah. I try and analyse what I know about them, you know, figure it out. But do you do lots of service? You know, very judgmental, but that's just me sometimes. I get a bit moral high ground about that one, a bit smug, but, you know, it's just, it's a defect. I think I'm going to leave it there because I think I had about 5-minute flash about 10 minutes ago. But thanks for being here, and sorry I didn't make eye contact. I'm not very good at that yet. Thanks.